Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate it. Listen, subscribe, follow the podcast. Or it's a YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there for all the great video content from the different shows at WIP, podcasts, live shows, pregame show, all that. Pop it in and check it out, 94WIP on YouTube. All right, today I want to dive in as we did our full day yesterday at Nick Sirianni. By the way, today, Dave Dabrowski press conference on WIP along with Rob Thompson. We'll carry that live on the midday show at 11 a.m. today. But I wanted to dive into an on-field issue with the Eagles that does need to be fixed. You know, Nick Sirianni apologized for his sideline behavior and on-field behavior on Sunday. What he did not offer an apology for, and I don't expect one, but I am just taken aback by how seemingly flippant he was about the issue, is the Eagles' inability to score in the first quarter. Once again, scoreless through the first quarter. The only team in the NFL this season to not score in the first quarter. Only team. Panthers have scored in the first quarter. The Browns have scored in the first quarter. Everybody has scored in the first quarter except the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is a problem dating back to last year. The last Eagle to score a touchdown in the opening quarter of a game was Julio Jones. That stat, courtesy of Ruben Frank on the pregame show on Sunday. It's remarkable. It's gone on for a long time, and it's an issue. If the Eagles are going to find a way to be the team many want them to be, they're going to need to score in the first quarter. You look right now in the NFL, and there is a direct correlation between first quarter scoring and winning games. And look, we remember 2 years ago when the Eagles got off to an incredible start and rode that all the way to a Super Bowl. They were the best first half team. They were the best second quarter team. They jumped on teams. The Eagles are built to play with a lead. They don't play with enough leads. They have smallish pass rushers. They have Bryce Huff once to get shot out of a cannon. They have Nolan Smith, who weighs 237 pounds. They're not built to play even football. They're built to play from ahead. You know, the way they built their team on the running back, receivers, quarterback, offense, slight little pass rushers that want to get up the field, it's reminiscent of the Colts back in the day with Peyton Manning. They wanted to get a lead. When they could play from ahead, they were excellent. When they had to play even or behind, they were not the same. It just wasn't the way they were built. The Eagles were built to play from ahead. You can't play from ahead if you don't get leads. This isn't rocket science. And the Eagles aren't getting leads. They're not jumping on teams in the first quarter. So I want to present four theories on why I think this might be happening. But before we get to that, just quickly, the correlation this season in the NFL to first quarter scoring and winning. So here's where the Eagles are quarter by quarter across the NFL this season. They're 32nd in first quarter scoring. Obviously, they haven't scored a single point in the first quarter. They're 12th in the NFL in second quarter scoring. They're 11th in third quarter scoring. They are 9th in fourth quarter scoring. If the Eagles could put together first quarter scoring on pace with the rest of their, you know, game, where how they perform in the second quarter, the third quarter, the fourth quarter, they have something here. This would be generally a top 10-ish offense if they could do that. Right now, they're 18th of the NFL in points per game because they can't do that. And if you think, whatever, you have a full game to figure it out, you really don't. So right now, heading into play in week 7, as we're through week 6 now in the NFL, Eagles at 3-2 after we just finished the Monday night game last night between the Bills and the Jets. The top 5 teams in first quarter scoring all have winning records. Every single one has a winning record. Here are your top 5 teams in the NFL in scoring points per game in the first quarter. Minnesota Vikings, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers, Houston Texans, and the Los Angeles Chargers all have winning records. I would argue all right now look like playoff teams. Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Houston, and the Chargers. Now let's look at the bottom 5. The 5 teams that have the most difficulty so far this season scoring in the first quarter. The Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots, Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams, Philadelphia Eagles. Only one of those teams right now has a winning record. That's the Bears, and that's come mostly on offensive improvement of late. And, of course, their defense, which is driving that team, and a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. But that's it. And, in fact, when I look at first quarter scoring around the NFL, you know, you can make a real case. The bottom 10 teams in first quarter scoring, if you tell me right now more than 2 make the playoffs, maybe just 1, I'd be surprised. Meanwhile, the teams that are near the top in first quarter scoring, the first five we went over, Baltimore is in the top 10, San Francisco in the top 10. You know, those teams very, very likely to make the playoffs as well. There is a correlation here between scoring early, getting a lead, and winning games. All right, now to my theories, because we know this. The Eagles know this. They could score in other quarters. What's going on here? So I've got four theories for you why the Eagles are struggling so much to score in the first quarter. Theory number one, that things are just too simplistic. I was listening to the Players Lounge last night, which you can also find on the 94WIP YouTube page or the Odyssey app. It was Ike, it was Hugh, it was Elliot Shore Parks, they had Landon Dickerson. And he was talking a little bit about the feeling out process that happens early in games, where you're trying to see what the defense is doing towards you, and then you could kind of formulate what you want to do, that kind of cat and mouse game. And Landon made it clear they're going out there trying to score, but that there's also part of it to where they're seeing how the defense reacts to what they're doing. And it feels to me like the offense might be just too simplistic early in the game, that they're maybe not dictating the terms of the game, but seeing how the opponent is playing them for intel for later. And that strikes me as a team that isn't fully prepared and is maybe being outwitted a little bit in the coaching department during the week. And they get to the game and they're a little bit unsure if what they think they're going to get, they're actually going to get. So they got to look for some tells. They got to try to do stuff to get a response out of the defense, and then they'll build off of that. That's what I'm feeling. It felt 2 years ago the Eagles were on top of it. They jumped on teams. They dictated the terms of the game. Now the terms of the game are dictated to them, and then they react. It feels like the offense early in games just too simplistic to fool anybody, too simplistic to put together a meaningful drive and to get the ball into the end zone. That's what I'm feeling. And when I heard that by Landon Dickerson, and again, he made it clear they're trying to score. This isn't simply an intel process, but just the way he described it, and I encourage you to go watch the show and go back and listen, it felt to me like almost comfortable with the long game in terms of, well, we'll see what they're doing against this, and then we'll get them later with this play because they're not going to be ready for it. And there's always some of that going on, but you also need to be on the attack mode and trust your preparation, trust your tells, trust your scouting and know the tendencies of the team, that they're going to likely do what you think they're going to do, and then you attack to that. And it doesn't feel like enough of that's going on early in the game. That's number one. Number two, there's just not enough new in the new offense with Kellen Moore. It looks very similar to me. You know, Jalen Hurts in the spring said 95% new. The one thing that is different, clearly, is they're running motion at a much higher rate than they were, you know, a year ago or the last couple of years, specifically last year. And we saw more of that Sunday. I think with their players back, they could do more motion stuff. I think the best part of their offense right now is those mesh concepts, those man beaters. Those have really worked out well for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they've made big, big, big plays off of them, including AJ and Devontae and Goddard and Calcaterra. Guys have made really big plays off of those mesh concepts and getting wide open and running in open space in front of them. But it doesn't feel like enough new. It feels like the league has seen this offense for a long time now and has an idea of how to defend it, has an idea how to defend Jalen Hurts' RPOs. You know, he ran the ball 14 times on Sunday, but none of it is super effective. It's like 2-something yards a carry. You know, it's not dynamic. It's not breaking your back. You know, they have a couple wrinkles, it feels like, every game, one or two. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that before. But for the most part, it's very similar stuff. You know, last week it was an option play with Jalen where it felt like an old, you know, 1990s football, you know, college football Saturday option, which when I was playing high school football, the offense, one of the offenses, because obviously things change with coaches and people over the years, one of the offenses we ran was the option. It felt like I was watching that. That was new. You know, the wheel route to Saquon in week one was new. You know, so some of these things are new, but not enough of it new. You know, it feels more like last year than I think we thought it was going to be. So number one, it's just too simplistic early in the game. Number two, there's not enough new in the new offense. Certainly doesn't look 95% new, the way Jalen Hurts alluded to in the spring. Number three, and this may come off as an excuse, but I think it is, we have to point it out. They just haven't been together with continuity this season. So Sunday was the first game since week one where they lined up AJ and Devontae and Goddard and Saquon. And by, what, the middle of the first half, gone is Dallas Goedert. And I don't know how severe his injury is, but there's a real chance they won't have Dallas Goedert this coming Sunday against the New York Giants. So that's another game. So there'll just be one game as we go into week 7 where they're all together and healthy. They also lost Jordan Mailata. Okay, so they've had a lot of different mixes out there with their skill position group, now their offensive line group. They missed a game with Lane. They're now going to miss several games, likely without Jordan Mailata. So there just hasn't been a lot of continuity out there with their offense. And, you know, I think about the best offenses right now. You know, you go to Detroit, a lot of continuity last year or so, you know, for years with Goff, with the line, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But now over the last year or so, they've had a lot of games with Sam Laporta at tight end. They've had a ton of games with the duo of Montgomery and Gibbs since the beginning of last year. They now have had over a full season to incorporate Jamison Williams. So just think about the snaps those guys have played together. Brown, Williams, Laporta, the line, Goff, Gibbs, Montgomery in the backfield. It's a lot of games, a lot of snaps, a lot of plays, and they look like it. It's a well-oiled machine. It could be and very likely will be the best offense in the league from the rest of the season, and it has been an incredible offense already. What they just did on Sunday to the Cowboys was remarkable. But that's a unique and special offense right now. A lot of continuity, you know, last year developed in San Francisco once they got rolling with Purdy from the year before and then through last year, and you saw it. And now this year it's a little choppier because they don't have as much continuity with the backs out and all that. I think there's something to this. Incorporating a new offense, trying to learn tendencies of the teams, different people out there every week, the injury bug, how many games will there be this year where they have, let's just go with both tackles, the quarterback, the tight end, both receivers. You know, they haven't had it yet since week 1. How many more games will they have of that entire group? I don't know. Because even when we get Mailata back now in a couple weeks, you know, and Goddard back, assuming, will A.J., Devontae, Jalen, Lane all be healthy? I don't know. You hope they will be, but you just don't know. I think that has been part of the issue, that they just haven't been together with continuity. And the fourth potential reason, and my fourth theory for why the Eagles start slow on offense, is perhaps we just overrated this group collectively. You know, there's an assumption, and I remember there was an NFL.com article projecting the top 10 offense in the NFL. We discussed it in the midday show over the summer. And people were just flabbergasted, taken aback by the idea, and I forget the name of the writer right now off the top of my head, but flabbergasted by the idea that this team wasn't ranked as a top 10 offense to be. And I didn't think it was a crazy thought. There's a lot of good offense in the NFL. Everyone thinks they have a good offense. I mean, that's every team builds offense. Every team spends money on offense. So I don't know. Is this shocking? Detroit. I'm going to read you right now the top 10 offenses in points per game this season in the NFL. Detroit, Tampa Bay, Washington, Baltimore, New Orleans, Minnesota, Buffalo, Green Bay, San Francisco, Cincinnati. Okay, by season's end, will they all be in there? Probably not, but Kansas City probably will be. They'll sneak in. Houston very well could be. Indianapolis could be. Arizona could be. You know, all these teams could have better offenses now than they did then. Atlanta could be. You know, Chicago is 12th now, and they struggle to score in the first quarter. If they get that ironed out the way we're talking about the Eagles, they're going to jump into the top 10 easily. So there's a lot of good offenses around the National Football League right now, and the Eagles just aren't one. And part of it is they don't have great wide receiver depth. Other teams have more good options to throw the football to. The Eagles have two guys in the receiving game that you trust. The Eagles don't have great tackle depth. We saw Fred Johnson really have a tough time in Tampa Bay when he had to start a full game. Did a nice job, but he came in New Orleans, but struggled when he had to play a full game in Tampa Bay. I imagine this week the Giants will try to get Brian Burns on him as much as possible. If it is Fred Johnson, that's a bad matchup for the Eagles. So they don't have great tackle depth. They don't have great receiver depth. They have a quarterback that has been much more average than great for the past year. So when you add those things together, is it really all that surprising? No. And when you say it like that, when I say it like that, maybe we've just overrated collectively the group. They got a lot of names. But right now, you watch them play. Are they a better offense than Detroit? No. Are they a better offense than Tampa Bay? No. Are they a better offense than Washington? No. Baltimore? No. New Orleans? I think they they could end up being, because New Orleans looked like they got off to a good start and will fall off as time goes on. But they scored a lot of points on Sunday. Okay, they're better offense than Minnesota. You think they should be with Darnold, but that's a great coach in O'Connell, and they have Justin Jefferson. So I would say no. Are they a better offense than Buffalo? I would say no, because of the quarterback difference. Are they a better offense than Green Bay? No. Green Bay has just way more weapons, and the quarterback's playing at a higher level. Are they a better offense than San Francisco? No. Just as many weapons, better play caller, better designer, and Purdy is playing better than Jalen. Better offense than Cincinnati? No. Burrow's playing an MVP level. Better offense than Atlanta? Probably close to similar. Better offense than Chicago? Chicago is more weapons. Eagles better line, but there's more depth to the weapons and breadth to the weapons in Chicago. Better offense than Seattle? I like Hurts better than Geno, but they've got three big-time receivers. Better line it with the Eagles, of course. Better offense than Houston? Not when they're healthy, with C.J. Stroud and Dell and Diggs and Mixon and, of course, Nico Collins. They could be down for a few weeks. I like Green Bay to beat them this weekend in Lambeau. But once they get healthy, you know, Houston's a better offense. Better offense than Kansas City? No, because they're Reed and Mahomes. So I just went through the first 15. I don't think the Eagles are more than a middle-of-the-pack offense, even though they have the names to be a better one than that. You just look, just watch the games, just see how they play. So we may have collectively overrated the offensive pieces they had. All right, my four theories on why the Eagles get off to slow starts. Too simplistic of a start, you know, game plan design in first quarters. Number two, not enough new in the new offense. Number three, they haven't been together with continuity to really see how great they could be. And four, we may have just overrated the collective group. And, you know, the Eagles have failed to score more than 21 points in four straight games. Longest streak since 05. 05. They've gone four straight games without scoring more than two touchdowns. Last time was 2016. Obviously, 05 and 16, not playoff years here in Philadelphia. You guys have a great rest of your day. Hopefully, the Eagles can figure this out, because we need some points early in these games. Have a great day. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.